Hello and welcome to Ireland, Fiddly D Potatoes and all that jazz. We'll talk about stereotypes later. I won't just do them, I'll also intellectually attack them. But here I am. Sorry about the noise. I'm on the motorway and I appreciate it. It probably doesn't sound great because I rented a very noisy car. I don't know what it is. I know it's a Toyota. I can only imagine it's called the Toyota Shitbox, because it's really loud. I'll get rid of the background noise as much as I can with some clever filtering business, but technology hasn't quite managed to eradicate that kind of thing, so deal with it. But later on, as we discuss and travel some of Ireland, I'll give you a couple more recordings with better acoustics. But I thought now was a good time for a chat. I'm on my own. I've just recently landed in Dublin. And bit of a weird start, actually. I got the car at 10 a.m. I'd been on the plane overnight, so much like the Azores, I got in my car and thought, hang on a minute, you shouldn't be driving, you need to be pulling over. So once I got outside Dublin and started making my way across Ireland, I pulled over at a McDonald's. I didn't eat a McDonald's. I'm trying to give up all that shit, or at least mostly eradicate it. So I instead got from the convenience store attached a beetroot wrap, which, talk about false advertising, beetroot wrap, it should have been called a chicken and goat cheese wrap with elements of beetroot. Good job I'm not a veggie. So I munched my way through that in the parking lot just before having a snooze, right? Nice way to just sort of fill myself up, knock myself out and have a nice snooze in the car park. And then I thought, oh, it must be raining. I had my eyes closed. I was like, oh, it must be raining. I opened my eyes and a 12-year-old boy was throwing up over my wheel. Yeah, I didn't see that coming either. He had a bag of McDonald's. It was the best ad for not eating McDonald's. But there he was, yakking up over my wheel. But I didn't want to kick a man when he was down, so I let him throw up and just reversed off. And then he felt a bit sort of open because it was quite a busy car park, and he decided to get the seclusion of yakking up between his car and mine. On mine. Could have yacked on his own wheel, but again, didn't want to kick a boy when he was down, so I let him have a little yak and got on my way. It's a rental car. There's things to get upset about in life, and that's not it. Avis Budget, if you're listening, front right of the Toyota shitbox. Give it a clean. So, here I am in Ireland, and I've already been here, so it doesn't count as a new country. I don't know how many times I've been to Ireland, probably about 20. I love Ireland. I absolutely love it. Full disclosure, I'm half Irish. My dad was Irish. He died when I was 17. When you're 17, you don't have a massive thirst for knowledge, or at least I didn't. And in the years he's gone, since he's gone, I've often thought, man, I'd love to have come here with him. Unfortunately, I never did. But I'm a fairly curious person anyway, I like to think, but I've always had a deep curiosity about Ireland for that family connection, and I just fucking love it. There are things about it that I don't love, and there's a good reason I don't live here. I feel so connected with Ireland that if I was going to live anywhere in the world, it would be quite a logical choice. But I do feel more connected with the sunshine. And that is a very rare appearance. What happens when you've got the old Gulf Stream is all the water gets sucked up off the Atlantic and then it hits land and dumps on it. It could be worse. You could be in Bergen, Norway, the most rainy place in Europe. But Ireland, and in particular the West, I won't say it's always grey because that's just not fair, but it does get a bit too much greyness for my liking. And that's the weather today. I imagine the Irish weather forecasts are really boring. Irish and Icelandic. You know, it's one of those cars that tells you not to change lane and beeps at you because you didn't signal. I'm doing the fucking driving! I don't want an autonomous vehicle. I can make decisions. Let me be. That's a new button you need for the Toyota shitbox when you get in. A let me be button. Let me live my life. Stop beeping at me. I accept the seatbelt beep. But all other... Cheers for that. All other... Someone just cut me up. All other beeps. Eradicate, please. Maybe you like it. Lane assist, I believe it's called. Where you go and change lane, and not only does it beep at you because it thinks you've drifted to the side of the road because you didn't indicate. But yeah, not only does it beep at you, it also slightly moves the wheel like an empathetic driving instructor. Let me fucking be. I've been driving long enough. You know, some people that have been caught drink driving have to do a breath test into their vehicle to prove that they're not over the limit. I think they normally, I think they normally get their children to do it, which which is ethical. But yeah, you know that. I feel like that should be a system on cars like this, where it, I don't know, maybe facial recognition. You get in and it goes, yeah, he's in his 40s. He grew up without all this shit. I'm not going to shout at him and bark at him for changing lanes. Anyway, I should let you know why I'm in Ireland. I'm here to see a guy called Christy Moore, and I'm just here for the weekends. I just flew in from Canada, and I'm going to Lisbon. I've been working my tits off, and I do mean that. I honestly don't know if I've ever worked this hard for the last couple of weeks. I've got a canvas printing business, and a car dealership wanted lots of pictures of people standing around looking moody and looking a bit rich. And they were absolutely mahoosive. So for the last few weeks, I've been printing out 9-foot-wide pictures of good-looking men and women of all colour and race who look as if they might be able to purchase a big for big. I might beep that. If that's beeped, it's because I probably shouldn't tell you the car company that I've got a contract with. And also, it's starting to make me feel a bit uncomfortable. So, yeah. Don't worry, it's not Toyota. Anyway, the point is, I've been doing that, and that's over. And now I deserve some sunshine. So, I'm going to Portugal, which is my usual haunt. And I love it there, and it's cheap and great, and everything's perfect in Portugal. But why not go via Ireland? Because Ireland's fantastic. And there's a guy called Christy Moore who I'm going to go and see. And I best described as a folk singer, and he's performing in the small town of Ennis in Western Ireland, not that far from Limerick. And this podcast wouldn't be a podcast if I didn't use this opportunity, because I'm near Limerick, to do a big shout to Blind Boy. So big shout out to Blind Boy, who I've taken hundreds of hours now of mental health advice from, usually in a comedic way, not rammed down your throat in any way. I wouldn't actually describe him as a mental health podcast, but he's a very wise boy, is our Blind Boy. So if you're on the hunt for a podcast that might change your life for the better, particularly if you're in the arts or performance field, or perhaps you're just a bit stuck in life, I would very much recommend Blind Boy. He's from Limerick, and I've got enormous happiness from his podcast over the years, and he's still doing it every week. And funnily enough, I just listened to one of his now. Give him a go. The Blind Boy podcast. It's hard to categorise, but he's funny, he's charming, he's witty, he's wise, he spins a long yarn, and he's very interested in the history of Ireland, and in particular, their oral traditions. This is, after all, a country that has a great oral history, a storytelling history, and as a result has spawned some of the best writers. So, that's quite a pre-ramble. What are you listening to? Well, you're listening to me. My name is Vinny, and I am going to spend the weekend in Ireland. And I'm going to tell you about it. Sorry about the shouting, by the way. It's just this shit box is really, really loud. But yeah, I tend to do podcasts from around the world. And I'm trying to get to 100 countries. If you haven't heard any of my podcasts before, why not go back and listen to a few from various other places? But the mission here is to get to 100 countries. I'm on country 93. This doesn't count as a new country because I've been here loads of times. Unfortunately, I'm not here for long, but I'll be back again, I would imagine. Only I've got a wedding here. And actually, let's use this opportunity to explain the importance of travel. Now, obviously, travel is very important in my life, but you may, if you have been listening to this podcast for a very long time, back in 2012, I went through Africa. And if you remember those podcasts, well done. They're still available. I actually heard them back the other day. And I think they're quite good. It's really nice to relive a trip. I went through 8 countries in Africa. I recorded 4 podcasts. And it was all on a pre-organized trip. And one of the guys on that truck has turned out to be a very good friend of mine. And he will be marrying his girlfriend. And I'll be going to his wedding. So I've got that to look forward to. And I'm hoping the sun will make its annual appearance. So let's give you a quick lowdown about the differences between the various parts of Ireland. So most people that come to Ireland go to Dublin. A lot of Yanks retracing their family history, and particularly from, you know, New York, Boston area, and a huge wave of tourists from Europe. And unfortunately, a lot of them don't leave Dublin. And I'm going to start with this. That is an absolute tragedy. If you're going to Ireland and you only go to Dublin, you fucked it. You really, really, really have fucked up. You're not going to have a bad time in Dublin, but you're really just going to see endless tourists, particularly if it's summer, and stag do's, and you'll have a nice few creamy pints of stout. Of course you will, but you will also not witness the true Ireland. And my favourite part of Ireland, by far and away, is the West. I would always recommend Galway, just because of its music scene. So, real Ireland, not the parody of Ireland, is simply beautiful. As far as I can see, having lived in North America for a long time, the parody of Ireland is leprechauns and silly accents, lucky charms and we'll get lucky and all those sort of tropes. They're a bit shit really, aren't they? Real Ireland is sitting in a pub in a rural setting in a small town where not a lot happens, and at 6:30 or 7:00 in comes a load of older fellas, and they have a few creamy pints, probably on the house, and your man gets out a boring drum, and someone else gets out a wee squeeze box, and someone else gets out a fiddle, and before you know it, joyous, rapturously wonderful music radiating through an old leaning brick building with a roaring fireplace with a big shaggy dog in front of the fire. And yes, it's grim outside. It's pissing with rain. All you can see is green, 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 Kerrygold green. You'll just get into that lovely early stages of being pissed. And the old fellas will be cracking excellent gags between songs. They'll be arguing about the set piece. And the barman is a professional who will know exactly what you want to order and knock it out at a rapid speed. And maybe the next day, despite your mild hangover, the sun makes an appearance and you go for a nice ramble up into the hills. Maybe you look at the unique cliffs of Western Ireland and the breathtaking landscape of a wind-battered world. That is Ireland and the crack, you know. And just in case you're not familiar with Ireland, when I say crack, obviously I mean C-R-A-I-C, the good times. That's Ireland. Good, funny, wonderful, warm people that are interested in the world. You know, let's not forget that Ireland's biggest export is its people. As a British Irishman, I feel slightly conflicted. I don't have the Irish passport yet, which obviously I'm going for because of Brexit, the fucking evil thorn in my worldly side. But yeah, I think I can call myself an Irishman. I certainly feel like one. As an Irishman and a Brit, it puts me in a slightly unique position where I can say without any bias, the Brits were absolute cunts to the Irish. They really were. And, you know, you do find still today a few bitter Irish people about what the Brits have done. It's mostly water under the bridge, but not entirely. It might take a few more generations. The Brits have manipulated and controlled the Irish for 700 to 800 years in lots of ways, but mostly in economical ways. Repressing the Irish, working their land, exporting their crops, and sometimes in the most extreme case, starving their people. View up the Irish potato famine. And in more recent history, since 1921, British massacres in Ireland, fighting over control for what I think it's fair to say is almost inevitably going to be returned to Ireland one day. And that's, depending on your political stance, Northern Ireland or the north of Ireland. Just a little bit on that, by the way. Here in Ireland, if you hear people say the north of Ireland, for example, if you're hearing a weather report and they say in the north of Ireland today, that means we don't entirely respect the country that is Northern Ireland. Now, in case you don't know any of this, and it's far too long to get into, but if you're an American, for example, and you don't know anything about the difference between Northern Ireland and the south of Ireland, why am I doing this? This is quite a challenge. Yeah, let's do it. So in a nutshell, let's try and make it simple. The British used to own, for want of a better word, Ireland, right? They used to control it. And if we go back before that, of course, there was an Irish people with an Irish language, and Irish folklore, and Irish pagan traditions. And over the years, the Brits and globalisation have changed all that. And now, although the Irish language exists, the Irish tend to speak English, and they've all been converted from their early pagan traditions into Christianity, as have the Brits. But there's two offshoots of Christianity that are at question here, and that's Protestant and Catholic. And all in a nutshell, I think I'm trying to make a quite a long, complicated and bloody story quick and easy, and it's actually quite hard to do. But let's just say the Brits have repressed the Irish enormously, have continued to do so. There's been violence on both sides, absolutely. And there's been violence on the British mainland as a result, yeah? So the IRA, the Irish Republican Army, a self-styled militia group, the Irish Citizens Army, and then that became illegal and went underground and turned into the IRA. So, Brits repressed the Irish. Ireland became independent in the 20s. The Brits gave it back, but they didn't give back the north of Ireland or Northern Ireland. And at the time, the argument was, well, the people of Northern Ireland feel more loyal to Britain, and there's a bit of religion thrown in there as well, of course, but let's not get too into that. And so we're going to keep that part of Britain. So you've got Northern Ireland, Scotland, Wales and England. And if you're interested, there's also a place called the Isle of Man, and there's a podcast on that, but we'll leave that one out for now. And they're all independent countries. And Northern Ireland has pounds, Southern Ireland has euros. Northern Ireland is governed by Downing Street, Southern Ireland, has its own government. So we have two different countries, and it's amazing to me, absolutely, it always blows my mind how few Canadians know that. I can't speak much for America, but I would assume it's the same. And it used to really annoy me, and I actually found it quite upsetting. But actually, I don't know if I've mellowed with age or what. I feel kind of all right about it now. It's not their battle. And it's quite personal to me and my family, because my dad was Irish and my mum is English. So for me, it's something that I was drummed into me at quite an early age, the conflict, what it's all about. And it was very visible in my lifetime, right? So in Brighton, where I'm from, the IRA bombed a hotel to try and kill Maggie Thatcher. If you're interested, Google pictures of the Grand Hotel bombing in the 80s. And they ripped a hole in the side of it and murdered quite a few people, and also maimed one, who I believe is still in a wheelchair today. So, and that's one of many attacks on British soil. So, and then of course there was attacks the other side, right? In Northern Ireland by the Unionists. So all this to say, and I will try and move on because apart from anything else, it's a bit dark. All this to say, the Brits and the Irish have not always got on. I'll define it a bit clearer. The English and the Irish have not always got on. I mean, the Scots relate to the Irish quite well because the English have repressed them quite a bit too. So, you know, look, no matter which way you cut this, the English tend to be the bad guys. So that's the interesting relationship that we have. And of course, it's a unique relationship because the English are allowed to live in Ireland and the Irish are allowed to live in England. And Brexit hasn't changed that. Don't, if you hear someone Irish, don't guess they're English, okay? My friend's wife is Irish. Was working in a Canadian pub, and it was the Jubilee, right? The Queen's Jubilee. And the Canadian said to my friend's wife, "Oh, it's the Jubilee today. Do you celebrate that in Ireland?" And my friend said, "Absolutely not." And the little Canadian woman said, "Absolutely not." And my friend said, "Absolutely not." And just walked away. So just think about it, okay? If you're not familiar with anything I've just said, bear in mind, next time you meet someone from Ireland and you guess they're English, they might be a bit pissed off, okay? Or next time you meet someone from Ireland and you say something like, "Do you celebrate the Queen's or the King's birthday?" The answer is, fuck no, okay? Unless they're from the north of Ireland or Northern Ireland. So hopefully that's a reasonably simple history lesson. But many lives have been lost and blood has been shed. And in some of the worst atrocities, for example, U2's Sunday Bloody Sunday, which when I was on the radio in Canada, we used to play it on Halloween. And I remember saying to my music director, "Why are we playing this?" He said, "Oh, it's got bloody in it." I said, "You do know it's about a massacre where the Brits opened fire on Irish people and killed and maimed them." And I remember he just went, "Yeah, I don't think anyone knows about that, so it doesn't really matter." Okay, good. As long as they don't Wikipedia it, then they won't realise that this is deeply inappropriate. So, yeah, hopefully that gives you a look. But and hopefully you can see this in my passion for some of the history, I love Ireland. I love the people. I love the green hills. I probably wouldn't live here just because of the weather. You know, I'm from southern England and we get enough rain. Not as much as everyone thinks, by the way. You know, it actually rains more in Paris than London if you look at rainfall. It just rains a bit more often and pathetically in London, that's the thing. But yeah, we get enough rain in the south of England, so if I was going to move from the south of England, it was never going to be to Ireland. But I would love to live here for a summer, you know. I'd absolutely love to. And I dare say I probably will, because I have a deep affiliation, and it's absolutely bizarre how many Irish friends I've got. I mean, you would think I'm handpicking only Irish people, and I just get on with them, because the Irish characteristics tend to be I want to say easygoing, but actually that's not true. Really fucking funny. How about that? Really funny, always up for a laugh, very pessimistic, but with great comedy, yeah? You want upbeat, go to North America. You want downbeat, sarcastic, but fucking hilarious? Welcome to Ireland. All right, that's enough for now. I'm going to get myself to my destination and stop shouting at you in the next bit of the recording. This is Vinny making his way over to a little town of Ennis to see Christy Moore, an Irish folk legend in County Clare, signing off for now and upsetting nearly everyone with my Irish accent, which, by the way, everyone thinks is grand, other than the Irish, who think it's fucking shite. So you might think this is bang on, right? But let me tell you, it's fucking shite, according to everyone I know from Ireland. But I know it's fucking shite, because they tell me I sound like a comedy leprechaun. I think I overcook it, you know?
I hate politicians, and I don't mind saying, they got the gall and the ball and the chain and the army and the navy and the gravy and the train, and they're trying to sell us water and it's pissing down with rain. I'm sorry now, the minister's in holidays in Florida. He left my granny in a trolley in the corridor. She's out there now, BJ, she's filling out forms. I can't stop digging, I'm down in a hole. Spent my dole on Polish coal. I'm tired of eating toast and beans. The man at the door is here to test my means. So don't forget to shovel if you want to go to work. Well, don't forget to shovel if you want to go to work. Don't forget to shovel if you want to go to work. Or you didn't do where you came from like the rest of us. Yippee. A dig in a hole, dig in a hole, dig in a hole. Italy, oodle dump, dump a doodle dump a dump a
A slice there of Christy Moore. What a gig that was. Absolutely wonderful. He'll make you laugh and he'll make you cry. Still going strong, Christy Moore, nearly 80 years old. The next night in a pub in Galway, I met an old fella called George. George was probably about 75, 80, and here's George telling a story that could have been told in a few seconds, but I like George. He keeps the oral tradition of Ireland alive. Here he is, spinning a yarn. George was dressed in a suit holding, of course, a pint of Guinness.
I was training together. I didn't know how many were together, but there was training together. And she started talking to me, and we chatted away, and we talked away there, this girl, am I right? She says to the bartender, "Hey, bartender, put George's drink in my tab."
So
I'm talking to her now. I said, "You don't have to do that." "But I want to do it," she said. I said, "All right, but you don't have to do it." So we chatted away and we talked away. I'm going to leave you. And where are you going? I'm going down to this other hotel because there's dancing there. She says, "No, before you leave, I want to take a picture with you."
Oh. How old is this woman?
The middle of the road. She puts out the camera and she puts over here outside me, and she says, "Can I see it?" "You can't." "Oh," I said, "you come out lovely." "So did you?" But that was okay. That was okay. And now three husbands were around the corner with me. And the next thing, the three husbands came back, and she showed her husband She showed the husband the picture of me and her together. You know, Jesus, what am I in for? He says, do you know that's my wife? And she said, I know, I said, but you meet nice people.
Where'd you get your jacket?
I bought that out in the States somewhere. I don't know where I bought it. I bought it out somewhere out in the States.
Do you play any instruments?
I don't.
Do you play any instruments?
No, I do a bit of singing.
Do you now?
Yeah.
You're a singer and a dancer.
No, not tonight, Jocelyn. No, I don't.
I love the music. Love it.
Yeah, well, good.
Thanks a minute.
There's just somebody here, that's all.
Sounds good.
Music of a Galway bar there, live music every night of the year in multiple pubs. Put Galway on your list. If you're going to Ireland, you really should go to Western Ireland. And if you like a bit of a jig, then you can't do much better than Galway. Now, the last part of the podcast on Ireland, let's hear from an Irish friend of mine. And we have you could call it an interview, but I wouldn't call it an interview. I'd call it more of a whiskey-fueled chat. We're going to call him Unidentified Man. So it's an old friend of mine. He's an Irish guy, obviously. And we're going to be talking about Ireland. But he's got a corporate job, so he wanted to remain underground and unidentified. Not that he said anything too controversial, although there is one point when he does call Irish people ugly. Not my words, the words of Unidentified Man. To give you a bit of background, Unidentified Man, a good pal of mine. He's born and brought up in Ireland, but has, in his adult life, lived in Peru, Canada and the Cayman Islands. So he looks at Ireland through a lens of someone that has spent a lot of time outside of it. We started talking about the population of Ireland and then it starts getting funny. So let's start with the basics. I asked Unidentified Man, what is the population of Ireland?
I would suggest it's slightly more than 5 million at the moment. It was 8 million in the 1840s before our major famine. But after the major famine, it was probably under 3 million. So like more than half the population either emigrated or died.
It's weird that we're having conversations about things you could Google in milliseconds.
Correct, yeah. Why are we asking silly questions that we can get the truth down that I don't fully have?
Surely the reason you're here is to tell me things that you can't Google.
Oh, I can do that. But it depends on what's Ireland. Is Ireland the whole island?
Oh, here we go.
That's the thing. It's fair, isn't it?
Yeah, let's use the Republic of Ireland.
Population of Rup. 5.127. It's like I made this shit up, wasn't it?
Oh, well done.
It's like I made this shit up.
Ireland,
yes.
Now we've got a population. What's your relationship with Ireland?
Born and bred, brought up in Ireland, very much Irish, I suppose. With my travelling experiences and my life experiences, I mock Ireland sometimes, but I guess I'm still proud on some levels to be Irish. But some of the cultural things I cringe at, like everybody, when we think about our own country and stuff like that.
One of the things I would like to say at this point is that this man, who is unidentified, often says that the people of Ireland are, quote, fucking ugly. Is that not true?
The danger of this is, Vinny, that if I speak too freely, this would become so popular that we would get 7 billion likes. You'll get wealthy because I only speak the truth. Irish people are the ugliest race on the planet.
Not my thoughts, the words of unidentified man.
Yeah, well, there's a reason for that. Let me explain that. So, as an Irish person, and I don't know this for all Irish people, but for me anyway, I'll say, like, when you grow up with the people of your way, they look like you and sound like you and act like you and understand your humor, your personality, your thoughts to a degree, if not the same, but very similar. Everything outside of Ireland is more exotic and more appealing.
Yeah. Well, I remember when I first moved to Canada and someone described me as, quote, exotic. And for me, the concept, the word exotic had always resonated with, I don't know, Fiji. So exotic is the allure of not having what you've got, isn't it?
Yeah, you're definitely close, if not really on it. But I would suggest exotic is just something that's not your norm.
Yeah.
Like to you and me, you're right. To you, we're white Europeans, whatever else. So to you and me, like, if, and I don't mean to put a colour on it, but I would suggest that exotic to you and me is non-white. But it doesn't have to be certainly those rules. There can be any rules that make it so. But like so, but maybe the reverse is, if you're speaking to a Latin person, and maybe a white person is exotic and so on.
Yeah, yeah. Weird, isn't it, that still exists with globalisation? I wonder if in 1,000 years' time, assuming the population of the world is still here, I wonder.
I went to school, in a boys' school, with 160 boys in my year. 157 of those boys were white guys that looked like me, and two of them were Chinese guys, and one was a black guy. But I know in Ireland nowadays, if you're 17 or 16 or so on, that's a way different, diverse school. So like, I was starved of exotic,
yeah,
by my measurement of exotic. So like, nowadays, everybody's mixed, and races and creeds aren't necessarily exotic the way I used them, but back then they were.
Yeah.
So it's different now. So you say in the future, will it be more different? I agree 100%, but now it's already more different.
How would you describe Ireland to someone that had never been there?
It's got green shit, it's got castles, it's got... And I know it sounds derogatory, but I'm spelling it in my own vocabulary best I can.
Yeah.
It's got green shit. It's green. That's strange and exciting to some people. It's got castles, and that's strange and exciting to some people. It's got history, and that's strange and exciting to some people. It's got some culture in the sense of Irish dance and Irish music and some literary history and all the rest. Like, it's drawing and alluring for many people from other nations, because it's an older nation, like many European nations. But if you're from a New World nation, it's exciting, exotic, and a lot of New World people have Irish heritage, so they buy into the dream and idea of it. But all of that's bollocks as well. You know what I mean? I'm torn. I don't know how to give a good answer. When you get past the romantic idea that you're going to go to and enjoy, that it's just the same as wherever you're from.
Sorry, mate, I'm going to pick you up on that. It's absolute horseshit. Imagine if you're from Brazil and you went to Ireland for the first time. Mm-hmm. You would be absolutely blown away by the flora and fauna. You'd be bemused by the small villages with pubs in them, with the old men playing squeeze boxes.
Maybe I just don't see that allure. That's why I can't defend that as well. And I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm just surprised that... It's not exotic to me.
You wouldn't even understand what that whiskey was. You'd be confused when the barman said, no, instead of, what would you like?
No, that's true. The now thing is, fucks me as well, I'm Irish. I had to throw that one. We had to talk about that one, yeah, important. I'm on an Aer Lingus flight back to Ireland. And it's my first introduction. I'm Irish.
Your first reintroduction, yes, back to Ireland.
And the air hostess is bringing down the meals, and she puts my plate down, and she goes, now. Now, I know what that means, I'm Irish born and bred, but imagine if I'm non-national, I would be like, now what, like now what, like, the logic of now, and when I'm back in Ireland, and I'm in a coffee shop, and there's a 16-year-old girl on her summer holidays working in the coffee shop, or guy, and they're bringing my coffee, and they put it down, and they're being sweet and nice, and I will never embarrass her, make them feel awkward, and they put down my coffee and go, now. Like, to me, I get it, but to a non-national, what the fuck does that mean?
And now?
Now what? Now we have a dance? Like, now I pay the bill? Now what? I find our Irish isms fake. For example, Bruce Springsteen is an Italian-American. And when Bruce Springsteen has turned the world, he's an American guy. maybe slightly Italian. But because his great-great-granddaddy once fucking drank a pint of Guinness, he's all of a sudden, and I'm exaggerating for effect, but he does have some Irish heritage, 1/16th heritage. The Irish, he will ham up on that and go, oh, Bruce Springsteen is Irish. And Bruce Springsteen never thought he was Irish, I'm sure. But he, as a travelling, working celebrity, will cash in on that. So when he comes to Ireland, he'll act up. And I mean, that's just bullshit.
Just to be clear, did you say he'd act up or black up? Because they're quite different.
Act up.
Yep. Okay, because one you can do.
When the Irish community says, hey, Bruce, you're Irish, he'll go, yep, I'm Irish today when he's in Ireland. When he's in Poland tomorrow, assuming he's some Polish heritage too, he lacked up to that. But we dumb Irish will latch on to the fact that we think Bruce Springsteen is Irish, as an example.
Your biggest export is your people, and even Obama was, to a degree, Irish.
Yeah, well, Obama, and and it's great, and it's good for tourism and industry, and it's no harm, and he is, I'm sure, whatever, 164th, 128th, whatever the right number is, Irish, whatever. Fine, no problem. But, like, honestly, like, you don't see too many Irish people going, I wonder if Hitler was Irish, and checking his heritage. You know what I mean? It's a bit Irish, the way that we work. It's a bit Irish. If the person is anyway a positive influence, they'll go, if he's not Irish, they'll fucking find someone, or they'll find some leprechaun that he once kissed, or they'll find some Guinness that he once drank and claim is Irish. If he's anyway positive. If he's anyway negative, who? What?
What? Didn't hear you.
No.
No.
Like, but even Daniel Day-Lewis is a British actor.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Sorry, that was a bit me there. Daniel Day-Lewis, the British actor. I don't know if you know this, Vinny, maybe you do or don't, but like, most Irish people will say he's Irish. That's a fact. Because he lives in Ireland. Again, anyone came across, oh, he came to Ireland, he's Irish.
I've never in my life seen such pessimistic people with comedic value. I mean,
yes.
Pessimism always, you know, the connotations are negative, but it's, oh God, it's always going to rain and everything's going to be awful because it always is, but we'll get by with a whiskey and a fiddle. And you know, as much as that's stereotypical and silly.
But I think it's also a form of play on the historical sense that we were a developing nation or a terrible nation or victim, and I hate all that stuff, of like, sort of British colonialism and all that. So we ham it up and act up to it as well. So we are a country of mourners to some degree in that sense, but some of it is comedic value or setting the tone. Well, Irish people moan for sport, not for genuinely hardships. We moan for sport. We think it's funny to moan.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a national pastime.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's not necessarily that things are that bad.
Random man. I'm going to put you in my phone as random man.
The people's champion, your hero, both of those fit as well.
What is wrong with Ireland?
The weather. There's nothing wrong with Ireland. All I can say is that...
There's nothing wrong with Ireland.
No, hang on. I'm just, let me finish first. Yes, I take your point. But there's nothing wrong with Ireland for many people, and that's like they can love Ireland. I am an Irish man, and I've had some challenges myself recently, and I realised that having challenges in Ireland versus having challenges in Toronto, as weird as it might sound, I don't even know the full answer why, it was far more appealing to have challenges in Toronto than it was in Ireland for me.
Why would you rather have problems outside of home?
Built into my brain, as well as all Irish people, when you're at home in Ireland, you are yourself, of course you are, but you're not allowed to be anything more than yourself. Not that you're not allowed, but you don't become anything more than yourself. I'm not saying anyone's holding you back. So you are the guy that is the guy that does this, 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 and this, and nothing more than this, this, and this. However, when you're an Irish abroad or wherever else, the sky's the limit. Back in Ireland, you're expected to be you and the version of you that everyone thinks you are, and conform to their standards. Now, don't wrong, you can still push the boundaries and push the boat and challenge all the norms, but it's just harder, I think, than being an Irish person abroad. I hope that was a reasonable answer, a good answer.
That was lovely.
Thank you.
Do you want to finger up your bum?
No, I'm good, thank you. I don't like men, but I appreciate the gesture.
Do you want a winky-woo in your spam purse?
I'm sure that qualifies for the same answer. I'm not sure what it means, but I'm sure it qualifies for the same answer. This is not baby reindeer, and you're not going to do that to me.
All right. What's right with Ireland? What's good about it? I don't like that pause. That's fucking 20 minutes.
No, there is loads. There's loads. As in,
I don't know whether I should edit that in the post cut.
The romance of what we sell to the world and how we sell it shocks me and surprises me. But the way that some, like North Americans especially, and British and Europeans have this romantic idea about what they think Ireland will be, and they buy into it regardless of Ireland is that or not. And when they come to Ireland, they only see the romantic version themselves. So they tick all their boxes and leave with the same romantic idea. And it isn't actually Ireland, but everyone wins. I think that's probably the best thing about Ireland. I don't know if that makes sense.
I know exactly what you mean, but yeah. I want you to put it.
You would have met somebody in the bar who's possibly making fun of you, but you actually interpreted it as him being your best buddy and how you had the best crack with him. So you because you came preloaded with the romantic idea of Ireland, you only saw and heard the romantic idea of Ireland. Yeah. Even though it wasn't romantic in the end of the game, and you left the romantic idea of Ireland, and you've sold the romantic idea of Ireland to the next American.
Yeah, you've almost manifested what you wanted.
You see and hear what you wanted to see, but you mightn't have listened.
What would be a more authentic trip?
I suppose the most legit authentic trip for me, and it would be like when you, it's Northern Ireland, because I think the whole world struggles with what really happened in the history of Ireland, and they have ideas and romantic ideas about what it is. But if you go to Northern Ireland, genuinely,
you're saying Northern Ireland.
Yeah, I said Northern Ireland. I apologize. So I genuinely think that if people travelled and learned more about the history of Ireland, the genuine history of Ireland, not that they had to have a strong opinion around that, but actually stopped and listened, and stopped being led by the bias they already had before they came, wherever that bias was. And just stopped and listened, I think that would be a truer and more reflective way.
The best experience of going to Ireland would be to go to what is, at least legally, the country to the north of Ireland, Northern Ireland.
So I would suggest, if I was in the tourist board of the island of Ireland, I would say the greatest tourist gift I could give to a non-national in Ireland is the open top, it sounds really weird, is the open top bus tour in Belfast.
I've done that.
Which I think is excellent. I think maybe I recommend it to you, actually.
You did. I did it. My favourite part of it was he said, this is the most optimistic house in Northern Ireland. Look to the left. A fella with an outdoor swimming pool.
Yeah. So what I liked about that bus tour was, obviously the humour. I felt that it was the most unbiased, fair approach to that tour. As in, if you were... So for Northern Ireland... Number one is you genuinely get a proper understanding of Irish history and the challenges they had rather than the romantic version you had before. But if you want to add on stuff into Northern Ireland and Belfast, you have the Titanic Quarter where Titanic was built in a brilliant modern museum.
You're saying it very quickly. Titanic.
You British cunts trying to teach us English. And then also things like the Game of Thrones was filmed there as well. You've got the Kiesel Quarter. Belfast is a trendy, brilliant place to be for all communities, including internationals. So I think, like, when people, non-nationals, ask me where to go in Ireland, I would suggest that if we're picking cities only, I would go Belfast 1, Galway 2, and then debatable where you go next. And I don't mean...
Really? You'd put Belfast over Galway?
I think there's so much more to learn. Because I'm more interested in history as well, so maybe I'm biased. You get a modern, trendy city, fun city. You get the Titanic history. You get the conflict history, all in one place.
Dark tourism, in a sense... If you look at Auschwitz, they get...
Huge tourism as well.
Enormous tourism. Yeah. But there is something wonderfully interesting about the human psyche, and that's what you discover when you discover the conflicts, the troubles of Ireland and Northern Ireland and England.
Mm-hmm. And this is my bias too. I'm anti-Sinn Féin, which was the political party of the IRA. And for me, just my own personal taste... still is to some degree the political party of the IRA. So I'm not a fan of theirs, but they're a huge political party in Ireland now. In fact, there's a very good chance they'll be the next government, for the first time ever, be the government in the Republic of Ireland. So there's a great chance.
If you could change Ireland tomorrow, what would you do? And let's assume, just for the sake of making this slightly easier, that you have to do something that can be done quite quickly. So, for example, it would be unreasonable to suggest you rewrite the entire rules of Parliament. Tell me, what would you do tomorrow if you could with Ireland?
You're not going to like my answer Well, my initial answer, you're not going to like it.
How do you know I won't like it?
Because you think it's going to be... Watch. I would take... I would do one of two things. Drill a hole in the middle and sink the fucking island. Or... And that's something against the people on it. Like, I'm not trying to do that. I'm just saying, like... When you live in the Northern Hemisphere, battered by the Atlantic Ocean and the bad weather, sink that fucking island. So either that, or stick a hook in that hole that I just drug in the middle and drag it towards Lanzarote or Canary Islands. So I told you I wouldn't like the answer, but you loved it.
So just to be clear.
Sink the fucker or drag it somewhere warm and dry. I'm very proud of nationalists that I mentioned that.
In fairness, you don't hear Trump say that, do you? Shake it, hook it, move it.
But Galway my second choice. I love Derry too. And there's,
why is Galway so good?
But Galway is like a bohemian city. There's arty. I'm not an arty guy myself, but I do enjoy it. It's just a fun, vibey town. It's like the street performers. There's markets. It's just the weather's possibly the. Actually, not even possible. I know this fight is the worst in Ireland. Is the worst. Comes here. Oh. But that kind of adds to the atmosphere sometimes. It helps with the pub culture.
Yeah.
If you can't be out, you'll be in.
The West of Ireland is fucked, isn't it? No, it's fucked. Basically, like, England's bad enough, but West of Ireland is like, right, everything's going to come off the Atlantic and piss all over us, always.
Some of the best waves, like for surfers, I'm told this, I don't know this, are off the northwest coast of Ireland, like Sligo, those sort of regions, Donegal and all that. I'm told they're there, right? But no one's ever been on a wave in Ireland without 14 wetsuits on them. Do you know what I mean? Like, so, like, what is the point? The rain isn't even just coming from down. It's coming sideways and up at you. You know what I mean? Like,
so if you can get 14 wetsuits on,
you'll enjoy the wave.
It's the place for you.
Yeah. You won't get suntan, though. You get windshield pneumonia, but you won't get suntan. In your radio show, Vinny, that could be your music. Your music coming in, your music going out. Could this be that?
Do you remember when I had a radio show?
I do.
I used to be so important.
No, that's not true.
I think my mum listened once.
I heard loads of your shows.
Oh, so, you did? You listened to a lot more than my mum.
I think I heard them all. I used to run on a treadmill at the time, and I used to listen to them all.
Imagine that. I used to run on a treadmill.
Well, it makes sense, Vinny. When I heard you talking, I was like, oh, fuck, I need to run away from this cunt. He's talking shite, and I could never get away from you for some reason. So I kept running faster and faster.
Do you mind if we leave on that absolute peak? I can't imagine a better thing to say than that. You've been listening to a man that I used to try to run away from.
On a treadmill. I'm Irish. I'm Irish.
Oh, I don't think anyone had noticed. Thank you. Good night.
Good morning.
Thanks for listening to this podcast on Ireland. It's been a joy to do. And thanks very much to Unidentified Man for getting involved in that last part of the poddy. Some of you have been asking me, how was Edinburgh? I did the Edinburgh Festival this year, and, well, what can I say? It was amazing. It was supreme lows and supreme highs. And one word you could not use is boring. I did manage to do 11 back-to-back shows on the history of electronic music, and it was a real pleasure. I really enjoyed it, and I had... You know when you hear comedians talk about rough crowds? Yeah, I had a couple of nights where I had a really bad crowd, and if they were at the beginning, I probably wouldn't have continued to do the rest of the shows, but luckily they were spaced out in amongst the 11 shows that I did. But nearly every night, exactly 9 of 11 were brilliant. So 2 out of 11 shite, and 9 out of 11 amazing, and mostly down to the crowd. Partly down to me, but more honestly down to the crowd, actually. Well, that's what I'm saying. It was a right laugh. I learnt a lot. I could talk quite a lot about it. Maybe I will on the next podcast. I'm not sure where I am next. Yeah, big announcements coming up. Big announcements. I'm going to make some big changes in my life soon, and they're all rather exciting, frankly. So, yeah, I'll leave it like that for now. But I am going to be, over the next year, making some big changes and hopefully making lots more podcasts from various parts of this lovely sphere that we call home. I am Vinnie White. I'm trying to get to 100 countries. I'm stuck on 93. I will soon enough be on 94. I just don't know where or when. But keep it locked on this. This is a bit bloody pirate radio, isn't it? Keep it locked. Keep it locked on this thread. Keep it locked on this stream. Doesn't even work, does it? Because you obviously don't keep it locked. Like on an FM radio, you'd keep it locked. But you wouldn't keep a podcast locked. Because if you did, theoretically, that would mean... That's another way of saying only subscribe to my podcast and ignore all other podcasts. And what kind of maniac would do that? So listen to whatever you want, whenever you want. It's your life. You can watch porn if you want. But do stay subscribed to my podcast. All right. Ta-ta for now. This was mixed and produced in the UK by WeMakePodcasts.uk.